If you would turn in your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I want to preach tonight on a more excellent sacrifice. And the key to understanding everything in Hebrews chapter 11 revolves around the word faith. The whole chapter deals with faith. It's recorded, that word, no less than 25 times in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you break it down into its simplest form, faith is believing in God's word and acting upon it without reservation. Real faith, genuine biblical faith, is always the fruit of the Spirit. It is produced by the Holy Spirit of God, who opens up our understanding of the Word of God. And faith is a gift of God. I find it interesting, and we're going to look at the specific instance here of the sacrifice of Abel and why God considered it to be a more excellent sacrifice. I find it interesting that before the example and the illustration of saving faith in the case of Abel, God makes it clear that you must embrace, believe, and receive the stated fact of Scripture that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, which is a clear reference to the literal creation account set forth in Genesis chapter 1. God did something that no one else can do. By fiat, by the word of his mouth, he spoke creation into existence. God spoke it into existence by his word. God brought something that was non-existent into existence by mere fiat, by simply speaking it into existence. And everything that is presently seen in creation had no existence before God spoke it into existence. God, the omnipotence of God must be so beyond our comprehension that if he can create the world just by the word of his mouth, what kind of power must God have? And why don't we believe in that he's all powerful? A couple of verses in Psalms 33. Psalm 33:4, Psalm 33:6, Psalm 33:9 affirms this truth that's stated in Hebrews 11. 33:4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. That includes the work of creation. Verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. You've seen the heavens. You've gone out on a clear evening and seen the arrays of stars and luminaries. Isn't it amazing? God spoke that all into existence. And it didn't wear Him out at all. It didn't take anything out of Him. Verse 9, for He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Real faith in God's revealed Word demands that you must believe what is recorded in His Word as authoritative and final, even if you don't understand it. This is God's Word. Someone says, explain to me how the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one God. All I can do is quote Scripture for you. These three are one. The Lord our God is one Lord. Different offices, but one person in harmony, bringing about His will and purpose in this world. So how in the world could God speak something into existence? Nobody can do that. All I can tell you is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's what the Word of God says. And those who have faith believe that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And yes, I believe that Word. I mean, I think it's ridiculous to believe in all of the ideas of the evolutionists. So many things that have been proven wrong and error-filled. And they've never been really held account for. Their teaching is taught throughout the whole world. And most of it is, all of it. It boils down to this. If you either have a Bible-centered worldview, a God-centered worldview, or you have a secular worldview. And a secular worldview is always going to be atheistic and contrary to the Word of God. Hebrews 11, in fact, if you don't believe God framed the worlds by the word of His mouth, it's a sin. It's wrong. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe in the literal creation account that is set forth in divinely inspired Scripture without reservation. Now, in order to receive the creation account, I must of necessity embrace what God clearly says and reject the false theories set forth by the evolutionary philosophers. So it really boils down to believing God's word over the philosophy, the worldview, the ideology of sinful men who are often atheistic as well. So I'm going to take God over their word every single time. This principle, though, rings true in the doctrine of creation, as well as that of salvation. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but do you remember when Paul went to Athens? Turn over there to Acts 17. Remember, they were given over to idolatry and philosophy, and they loved to hear questions and arguments. And they really didn't have an understanding of the true and living God. In fact, they had idols set up and monuments set up and shrines set up to all kinds of false gods that they argued for. And there was one shrine that just simply said the unknown God. And Paul said this in Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." By the way, I believe most of evolution and the doctrines relating to it and all the... Listen, don't be mistaken. All of the climate idolatry and alarm, it's all evolutionary thought. It's all this idea that somehow man can... Man's his own, he has the ability to correct everything that he perceives as wrong in the world, including the environment. And it's an impossibility. Man cannot change the temperature of the earth. He can't change the makeup of the atmosphere. Say, well, don't you believe in climate change? Not the way they're selling it. I believe God changes the climate, and He's done it several times. And He's going to do it in a big way. I think most of the things that happen weather-wise are really God's judgments upon an idolatrous, wicked world that deserves His justice. All right, that's for another sermon. I just had to get that off my shoulders. Verse 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him I declare unto you." Now, how does he start off? He doesn't start off preaching a salvation message. Have you ever thought about that? These people were heathens. They were pagans. They were idolaters. He started off with God, the doctrine of God, and he began with the doctrine of creation. God that made the world and all things therein. All right, do you believe that? I believe it. The man God inspired to write 14 books of the Bible, or 13 or 14, it's something like that. Paul the Apostle, all right? He said, God that made the world and all things therein. He affirmed it. Christ affirmed it. All the writers of Scripture are in agreement. God is the Creator. He made the world. So if you don't believe in creation, that God is a Creator, you are going against God and those whom He inspired to write His Word. I got a real problem. How can somebody be saved? Well, I can't judge a person's heart. But it's a conundrum to me to say that you believe God's word regarding Christ, but you can't believe His word, the first verse of the Bible. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth. All right, so God is the Creator. God is sovereign. dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He's omnipresent. He cannot be contained by men. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. He is sovereign. He is independent. God doesn't need anything. He has everything. He gives everything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Another affirmation. He is the creator and the sustainer of life. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. There are not many races. There's one. One human race. So, well, they talk about this all the time. I know they do. It's evolution. It's science falsely so-called. We trace our existence back to the sons of Noah after the flood and to Adam and Eve before the flood. We're of one blood. And hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That's the sovereignty of God. So this is what he is declaring. This is the unknown God to you pagans. He's the real God, the true God, the living God, the sovereign God, the creator God, the almighty God, the omnipresent God. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead, that's a reference to the Trinity, is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. He is not an idol or a shrine. He is the living God. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You pagans, you are responsible to repent of your idolatry, your immorality, your philosophy, your unbelief. God's calling you to turn. Change your mind. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained as Jesus Christ. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. There is, he's preaching Christ. God manifest in the flesh, sacrificed, and risen from the dead, and alive forevermore. He's the one you're going to have to give account to. Look at all that led up to that message. Oh, that got them all stirred up. When they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And there were people saved. Now, Hebrews, going back to this, you know what? I've made my first point. We're going to stop there because I got way too much stuff to go into the second point. I meant this as one sermon. This is a brand new sermon. The point tonight is in Hebrews chapter 11. The first order of faith is to believe the first verse of the Bible. That the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That God spoke the world into existence. And Paul backed that up by the way he dealt with people who were pagans. And folks, listen, by and large, we're dealing with pagans and heathens in our world today. People are completely ignorant of the Bible. Parents, they don't care enough to teach their children anything about the Bible. That's why churches are empty. That's why young people say, oh, we've got to start doing things different to get young. We've got to give them the Bible, the unvarnished truth of the Word of God, the gospel. Is the only way they're going to be saved. We need to pray that we can reach them. Well, I'll finish it up next week, God willing.